tell the difference between parents who just focus on behavior and those who try to address deeper issues of a child's heart. It's from the heart that much of the misbehavior and negative actions come. In this session, Scott and Joanne address more than just behavior. They help parents know how to address the heart. Your family will benefit from this session because you will receive practical advice about how to help children make lasting changes as they address their hearts.
Now is particularly helpful because we're going to focus on helping a child to change their heart. If I'm going to discipline my son David for being unkind to his brother, I want to use a discipline technique that's going to help him do more than just change his behavior. I want to develop in him some thoughtfulness and kindness, some of those heart level issues that go beyond behavior. So we're going to talk about changing the heart today. We're not just changing behavior in our children, but we're going to that deeper level and focusing on the heart as well.
Too often we focus on behavior, getting the right actions down, but we leave the heart unaddressed. Working on behavior is not enough. Unfortunately, many parents spend a lot of time helping their children get the right actions down. Inadvertently, these parents teach their children image management, the ability to appear good and clean and nice.
These parents are then devastated when those same children reveal unresolved issues of the heart later on, whether the teenager who steals the family car or the daughter who gets pregnant or the teenage son who starts using drugs, all have one thing in common. It's unresolved issues of the heart that have been growing for years. At home, we have a growth chart on the wall, and the boys love to be measured to see how tall they are. And that's a real fun thing for them. But really, the most important measurement of a child's growth is to put a tape measure around their heart and see what growth is happening there in their heart.
Let's just talk about what is the heart for a moment. The heart's the place where we have thoughts, intentions, desires, fantasies, motivations. Children play out foolishness in their heart long before it comes out in their actions.
What happens often in a situation with a parent disciplining a child is the parent sees a certain behavior that they don't like, a wrong behavior, something they don't like, and they focus on that behavior. They think about this behavior, and what they want to do is decide what behavior they want to see instead. So then they focus on a right behavior, and they use whatever technique they can to get from the wrong behavior over to the right behavior. And once they see that right behavior, they think they've done their job. They think they've completed their task, but unfortunately, they've missed the heart.
We believe the discipline process requires two more steps. So you identify the wrong behavior. Let's say you ask your daughter to help with the dishes and she complains and argues with you instead of doing that. That's the wrong behavior. What you want to do is you want to look at what are the negative heart issues that are involved here. Maybe the child has a rebellious spirit. Maybe the child is being selfish. That's what we're looking for in these negative heart issues. Once we identify those, we want to then identify some positive heart issues that we want the child to develop. Positive issue in that sense may be that we're looking at a thoughtfulness or a helpfulness or an unselfishness or respect for authority, whatever it might be. We move then from there into the right action. In essence, what we're saying is that child may choose to do those dishes without whining and complaining, or they may choose to appeal in a respectful way and just talk about the problem that they're having. But what we've done here is we've moved the discipline process from just two steps to four, which is a much more complete process. And we're going to talk about this and how to do this today.
The wise parent looks beyond the behavior to some deeper issues of the heart. What's going on within the child? What are the motivations, the attitudes of the child? The goal of discipline is not just to change a child's behavior, but to make some more significant changes within the child. Not just to act correctly, but to think correctly, to be the right kind of person.
God's the one who changes a person's heart, right? In fact, this truth about God changing someone's heart is very significant. The fact that we know that God changes hearts means that we want to be spending time praying for our children. That our children won't be just developing right actions, but they'll be developing a heart that is right as well. Remember, Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they looked good on the outside, but their heart was messed up. So they had the right behavior down. They were hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, Jesus said, because they had the right actions down, but their hearts we're in the wrong place. So we want to be praying that God will change the heart. That's the first thing. But there's another side of this, in that God expects us to change our own hearts. And that's where we come with the word repentance. So we want to be able to change our hearts as well. When we look at God changing the heart, we see verses like Pharaoh's heart was hardened by the Lord. We can talk about the theological ramifications for that. But the point is, God had an effect on and influenced Pharaoh's heart in that situation. Remember that David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Why is he praying that? He's praying that because he knows that God's the one who ultimately changes the hearts of people. At the same time, God expects us to repent. A repentance is a change of heart, and that's a response that we want to have in our own lives with as we look at ourselves. And also, as we work with our children, we want to help them to change their heart as much as they're able, and we also want to be praying that God will change their heart in the process. There's a little preschool boy named Joey, and the teacher said to Joey, "Sit down, Joey," and Joey said, "No." So the teacher came over on top of Joey and said, "Joey, you sit down." And Joey sat down and he looked up and he said, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." Now, how common is that even in our own homes when we're teaching our children and we're trying to discipline them, that they'll do the behavior, but when it comes to the heart issue, it hasn't been addressed?
So here's the secret that we want to share with you today. The secret to helping children choose to do what's right is to teach them how to change their heart. As you begin to use this secret in your family, you'll be able to see tremendous changes in your children as they begin to adjust their motivations, their attitudes. You'll get to the root of disobedience and help your children learn to make lifelong changes. Most importantly, you'll see your children beginning to choose to do the right thing because of the change that's going on in their heart.
We're going to give you a number of examples today, and you might jot down some of the ideas, even some of the heart issues that we talk about, because you're going to be thinking a different way as you approach behavior in this kind of a process. Now, we're going to spend our time today looking at ways to help children change their heart. Before we do, I just want you to understand this a little bit more. So let me give you another example of about a 5-year-old boy who whines at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because he wants a snack. So he comes and he comes whining. Now, if you were using behavior modification as a technique, you might say, "Well, you whine, so you can't have a snack. Come back and see me when the clock comes down here to the 30. At 3:30, you come back and see me and ask again with a good attitude, and we'll see if you can have a snack." Now, that's behavior modification. There's nothing wrong with it. It's using a logical consequence. That's a consequence that says it's related to life. If you aren't approaching life in the right way, you don't get what you want. So I'm logically setting this up for you. So it's a good consequence. It's a logical consequence. But it only deals with behavior. It doesn't deal with the heart. So let's walk through this process for a minute. The wrong behavior is a child whines, complains when he wants a snack because he's hungry. The negative heart issue here may be a demandingness on the part of that child. That the child is, you see that the complaining is a manipulative technique that children and adults use in order to get their way. Okay, and so that's a wrong response. Whining and complaining is wrong. It's not appropriate in a family or in life at all. But we haven't learned how to get over that. Okay, part of the reason that children whine and complain is because it works. All right, now we come to a negative heart issue here, and we're saying this child may be demanding or manipulative, or just maybe being thoughtless. Doesn't realize what they're doing. Doesn't hear themselves. And so we identify that negative heart issue, and we say, what is the positive heart issue that we want? We want them to unselfishly make a request. We want them to respect authority in the process of sharing their concern. We want them to act unselfishly in making their request about food or whatever. There is a way to do it that demonstrates a positive heart issue. And then we move to a right action where we encourage them again to come with a good attitude at 3:30, whatever it might be. We might still use the same consequence. Notice, though, we might discipline for behavior, but we're talking about the heart. We might use a positive consequence or a negative consequence, but as we do it, we're not just saying your words weren't good. We're saying, check your heart here. We're looking at heart issues, not just behavior issues.
So one day I was working with David. I was home in my home, and David was in the playroom with some friends, and I heard some arguing going on. So I listened in to what was happening, and I could tell that David was telling the other children how to play a particular game. So as I listened a little more carefully, I realized he wasn't even playing that game, but he was just telling the other children what to do. He was acting in a bossy and a selfish way. So I called him out of the playroom, and we talked about the problem. And we talked about, you know, why that was inappropriate. And he went back into the playroom again. And I thought that we had solved the problem. But unfortunately, he went back into the playroom, and he decided that he was going to put the game away, tell the other children that was his game, and he didn't want them playing it anymore. And so he put the game away. So what happened here was David changed his behavior, but we still had a heart level problem. He was still being selfish. He was still being prideful and bossy. So what we want to do is we want to have a technique that we can use with our children, a way to interact with them and discipline them that addresses those heart level issues and not just their behavior.
It's kind of like a mushy ball. You know, you have this ball, and if you push one side, then something has to come out the other side. And the same thing's true in our discipline. If we poke the behavior down and the child changes it, if their heart isn't addressed, then it just comes out somewhere else. Karen's 10 years old, and every time she's asked to do something, she mutters and grumbles to herself while she's doing it. She goes ahead and obeys because she doesn't like the consequence, which comes from not obeying, but you can tell that she's not, that her heart isn't there. You can tell that her heart is far from that particular thing that she's been asked to do. In fact, sometimes she'll do it part way, or she'll do it with a bad attitude. And so we look at that behavior that's wrong that we see, and we look at a heart issue. What's the problem here? It may be that there's a rebelliousness developing in Karen. You see, rebelliousness doesn't start at 13 years old, at 16 years old. It starts at 3 or 5 years old with a bad attitude. And so we want to help children to see the heart issues that they're experiencing in their lives. Now, we might help Karen develop a positive heart attitude like gratefulness or love or whatever it might be as she's being asked to do something. We may choose something and help focus on that. In our book, one of the chapters, we try to teach you how to develop character in children. And we do it using a 6-step process that you can apply, same as a doctor does when he comes to a situation, identifying the problem, offering a solution, checking up, finding, and it's a whole process of teaching character. We identify a number of those kind of character qualities in our book that I think might be helpful for you. Let's just take a moment, though, to explore this. What are some negative heart issues that children have? What are some of the common, what? Okay. Selfishness. What else? Selfishness, disrespect. What else?
Pride.
Okay, pride. Okay, jealousy. Okay, ungratefulness. That's enough to get us started, isn't it? We'll have a lot of work to do if we just address those kind of issues in our children. I wanted you to take a minute, and I want you to imagine a child that maybe it'll be harder for you than others, that it might be selfish. And I want you to think of 3 or 4 positive heart issues that might take the place of selfishness. I mean, it could go a number of different ways. What are some positive heart issues that might take the place of these negative heart issues that we've mentioned? What are some positive heart qualities that would take the place of selfishness? Okay, generosity is one. What else?
Sharing,
okay, good. Okay, concern for others. All right. Compassion's another one. All right, let's take disrespect. What are some positive heart issues that would take the place of disrespect? Okay, respect. What else? Okay, honor. Okay, good. Submission. All right. We could go through all of these, but for time's sake, we're not going to. What I just want you to do is realize by doing this little exercise that this isn't the kind of discipline you're going to do in the heat of the moment. When a child has disobeyed, you're not instantly going to think, negative heart issue, positive heart issue, you know, I mean, you're going to have to spend some time thinking about this. And it's helpful to have a child just take a break for a moment while you think through what you're going to say about this issue. Discipline doesn't have to happen just instantly. Even having a little bit of time to settle down on both the part of the child and the parent is good, and then to work through some of these things.
So we see that addressing the heart is very important. Now, unfortunately, sometimes parents get into routines that actually miss the heart. They do some things, so when they're disciplined, they're not really addressing the heart. One of those mistakes that parents make is that they make excuses for their child. And in making these excuses, they miss addressing the heart. So excuses are like, he'll grow out of it, or at least he's not as bad as so-and-so. What are some other excuses? He's tired. He's just tired, so we'll let it go. That's it. What else?
He's in a bad mood.
He's a boy. Well, he's just two. That's right. We often let them off the hook. He's just 14. Any age, we could say, right?
That's good.
Yeah. That's it. We often make those excuses for our children, and then so we let those heart issues go because, well, just, you know, could be worse, right?
Parents make mistakes that cause them to miss heart issues. One is that they excuse their children. Another is they just overpower their children. After all, you're bigger than they are, at least temporarily, and so you can force them to do whatever. So a parent will come and say, "Do what I say now." And so the child just, you know, I mean, ends up doing it, and you're not really addressing a heart issue, you're just overpowering them or dragging a child along instead of teaching that child to respond with words, or ways in which a parent might just overpower their children. The problem with overpowering a child is that you leave some problems unaddressed. Parents who focus on overpowering their children have children who do the right thing. They look good. And so everything looks fine for those kids on the outside because all the actions are there. And in fact, those parents are often content because the actions are there. Unfortunately, later on, as that child grows up, other issues are revealed in their heart that they didn't know were there. They find out that there's some things that never were addressed because they focused on behavior. And I think there's much more for us in parenting than just dealing with behavior. We need to address heart issues when children are young, and then as they're getting older, even teenagers, we're going to see heart issues that we never realized they had when they were younger. We'll want to even discipline at that stage in some significant ways that point to heart issues, not just behavior issues.
So addressing the heart is very important as we work with our children. Now I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you can't force a child to change their heart. You can force them to obey, you can force the behavior changes, but you can't force them to change their heart. That's the bad news. The good news is that you can motivate them to change. We can influence our children and motivate them to change their heart as we work with them. So we want to share with you some ways to do that, some ideas of how to motivate your children to change their heart, and even a technique that we find is very helpful with children in helping them to address those heart level issues.
Now, we're going to give you a technique. We're going to move from this idea of changing the heart. We've kind of given you a vision for that, we believe. There are three ways that you can help change a child's heart. We're going to spend time with one of those. But there are three things you can do. One is that you can reflect sadness or sorrow instead of anger. Remember, anger builds walls, whereas sadness opens doors. Anger causes defensiveness on the part of the child, whereas sadness appeals to their conscience. You experience both anger and sorrow, usually, when your child is doing the wrong thing. And I would just encourage you not to cover up your sorrow with anger, which is commonly the case. When you see a child doing something wrong, you may instantly get upset and angry with them. And you may experience anger, but if you think about it for a moment, you'll realize, you know, this is really sad that that child's being so selfish, or that child is being disobedient. That is a sad thing. And so don't cover up your sorrow about their offense with anger. If you have a problem with that, it would be worth your time and the time of your children for you to work through anger issues in your own life so that you can come to a place where you reflect sorrow instead of anger. This appeals to a child's heart Whereas anger tends to close a child's heart and make them feel defensive. Just imagine if someone comes to you and comes on really strong because they're angry. Your initial response is to be defensive. But a gentle answer turns away anger. And so there's a gentle approach, and even reflecting a sorrow that opens up a child's heart. And that becomes very important. So that's the first thing you can do. If you want to help change a child's heart and get to heart issues, that's one of the things you're going to want to do. The second thing is you're going to want to use a process like the positive conclusion at the end of your discipline time. Because the positive conclusion asks the questions, why was that wrong? The positive conclusion is a process that helps children address the heart. It doesn't just say, what did you do wrong? It says, why was that wrong? And even young children can learn why the things they did were wrong. They didn't obey, or it wasn't kind. Very simple things. So they're learning heart issues from the very beginning if you use the positive conclusion. So we'd encourage you to use that as well. The third thing you can do is use a technique, which we're going to spend some time now, several minutes talking about, which we believe helps children address heart issues. It's not the technique that's the secret. The secret to helping children choose to do what's right is to help them to change their heart. But we're going to give you one technique that we believe has been very helpful in helping children to address heart kinds of issues.
This technique that we want to share with you, we call taking a break. Taking a break is something that we encourage children to do. We teach them how to do, and then we tell them what to do during that break. So taking a break is simply this. If a child is disobedient or wild or upset, what we do is we tell them they need to take a break. Tell them exactly what that means. With children who are 2 or 3 years old, we can start with a specific place where we tell them this is the break place. If we're starting this in our family, we've never done this before, you want to decide ahead of time. Okay, we're going to start using this technique called take a break. You have to decide where is that break place going to be. And talk to your child about that. Okay, from now on, when we have a problem, we're going to take a break and try and work through it that way. And this is the place it's going to be. Now, when you choose a break place, it's someplace in the house that's quiet, away from the distractions, away from the activity of the family. So with a young child who's 2 or 3, they might be sitting over in the corner of the room. There might be a specific place, a little carpet that you want to put there, and that's a break place. It might be a specific chair. It might be the steps. An older child, they may go to their room. A variety of places it could be. It's not always the same place. If you're working in the kitchen, your break place for your 2-year-old may be in the kitchen, but when you're in their bedroom, the break place is somewhere in that room. So it can be flexible. It doesn't always have to be the same place, but it's a place the child knows. So when you say to them, you need to go take a break, they know what we're talking about. The child is aware of what's going to go on. Now, the instructions are very simple. When your child has disobeyed or acted in a way that's not appropriate, you just say to them, I'm sorry, you need to go take a break. You should go sit in the break place for a little while, settle down, and then come talk to me about the problem when you're ready. And so we need to say the child at this point knows what to do. So if I see Timothy, maybe I'll ask him to do a particular job. I'll say, you need to take the trash cans out to the street now, or I'd like you to clean up your toys. And he responds to me with a bad attitude, then I know it's time for him to take a break. So I'll just say to him, Tim, I don't like the attitude I'm seeing. I want you to go take a break, settle down. When you're ready, you come talk to me about the problem. And then he goes to this break place. He thinks about what's gone on wrong, why is that wrong, all that. He comes back. And then together we have a positive conclusion, and we go through the questions. When a child goes off to take a break, they have a mission. They have they know what they're doing. There's an objective to taking a break, and that objective is to think about what went wrong and what they're going to do differently next time. So we're going to work with that a little bit. We're going to talk about repentance in a few minutes, what that means. But that's the goal of this break. They're not just putting in their time, but they have a goal, and that's repentance. And they're working on their heart while they're taking that break.
I like that word mission. When we send our children to take a break, we're sending them on a mission which says, your job while you're there is to change your heart and then come back. Now, taking a break has some similarities to what is commonly called time out. So I'd like to show you why we think take a break is more effective in working with children than time out in addressing children's behavior. Whenever I think about time out, I think about the woman who wanted to buy a parrot, and so she went to the bird store, and the owner said, oh lady, I can't sell you this parrot. And she said, why not? Well, this parrot cusses us up a storm. And the lady says, well, I can retrain it. I got kids. You know, I can retrain this parrot. It's okay. So he says, okay. So she sold her the parrot, and she took the parrot home, and that parrot started cussing, and she says, look, parrot, If you say another word like that, I'm going to put you in the freezer in time out. And so the parrot, a few seconds later, came out with another word. And so she said, okay. So she puts the put the cage and the bird into the freezer, just like she had threatened, for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, she opened the freezer, pulled out the parrot, and said, well, did you learn your lesson? And the parrot said, yeah, lady, but can I ask you one question? What did the turkey do? I think that many people have a hard time with time out for good reasons. Typically, time out is a term used for isolating a child as a punishment for doing wrong by simply sending that child away for a set period of time. That's punishment by isolation and is often counterproductive. Expecting children to solve problems alone is unrealistic. Furthermore, the isolation can appear to force children away from the love of the parent. It reminds me of the picture of Dennis the Menace sitting in his little rocking chair in the corner of the room saying, I don't think I can get any sorrier, while he's just sitting there. It's a sad picture. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, we believe that timeout can hinder a child's growth instead of develop it. We're talking about something different, significantly different. When we send a child to take a break, we believe we're implementing a valuable technique, one that even has its roots in Scripture. It can be quite effective in training children to change their heart. I'm not going to say a lot about its roots in Scripture, except to say that one of the things we did was we evaluated the whole idea of church discipline, which has the idea of separation as a motivation for change. And I think that if you compare the whole issue of church discipline to what we're talking about, you're going to see that as a model in God's family for taking care of problems, and one that it can be helpful to use in our own families. Now, I'd like to compare the difference between taking a break and time out. Taking a break has its goal of repentance, whereas time out, the goal is punishment. In taking a break, the focus is on the heart, whereas in time out, the focus is on behavior. The length of time in taking a break is determined by the child, where the length of time in time out is determined by the parent. So what we're saying here is that this approach is one that will address the heart. One word that we're going to use here as we talk about this is the word repentance. When we work with our kids, we want them to see and understand the idea of repentance, which has this idea of changing the heart. Now, taking a break has three distinctives that we want to emphasize just for a moment so you get an idea. We'll spend a little bit of time here before we go on and look for some more examples or illustrations. Three distinctives. One is that the goal is a changed heart. The second is that the motivation to change is a feeling of missing out on family involvement. And thirdly, the child helps determine the length of time spent taking a break. So I want to spend a time looking at those three things before we go further.
We're going to look at each of those distinctives a little more closely. Let's look at the first one. The goal of taking a break is a changed heart. Now you may be thinking, well, my children don't know how to change their heart. So that's what we want to talk about just for a few minutes. What does that mean for a child to change their heart? We've already said when we started that it's really God who changes the heart significantly. But there are things that a child can do. It's partly God's part and partly the child's part. So let's talk about the child's part for a little bit here. What does it mean for a child to prepare to change their heart? Let's think about this for a minute. Think of a child who's refusing to put on his sneakers. Okay, what does it mean for that child to change their heart? I think the first thing the child needs to do is to just settle down, calm down, and stop fighting. You can kind of picture the child, I won't put on my shoes, you know, and they get real stubborn about it. The first step toward repentance is just calming down and settling down. So we've given some steps to repentance for children, some steps a child goes through to lead toward repentance. And that first step is to stop fighting, calm down, and be willing to talk about the problem. The second step that a child will go through in this repentance process is to acknowledge that they've done something wrong. The third step is to be willing to change. And the fourth step is to commit to doing the right thing. Now, there are some other steps involved that we're not going to necessarily expect from each child. It's something we would desire the child to grow into, but it's not going to come right away. Those other two steps are feel sorrow for doing wrong and have a desire to do what's right. These are more of the emotional level. We can't, again, force a child to feel sorry or to want to do the right thing, but it's going to come with time as they work through the repentance process. Now, this sounds like a lot for children to do. It sounds overwhelming, but we can help our children work through this process. We can work with them. As children learn to take a break, sometimes all they do in that break place is they settle down, they calm down, and they're ready to talk about the problem. And then we talk with them through these steps of repentance. What's going on here? Are you willing to, do you know what you did wrong? Are you willing to make those changes? Sometimes all they do is just settle down in that break place, and then they come and talk. Other times they can get the whole process done, and when they come back for that positive conclusion, that repentance has already taken place. So if a child has been disrespectful in the way they spoke to you, the first thing they need to do is to just stop and settle down and be willing to talk about the problem. Secondly, they need to acknowledge that what they did was wrong. Thirdly, they need to be willing to respond differently next time. And fourthly, they need to commit to doing the right thing the next time.
So there's a lot of parts to this, helping a child change their heart. Depending on the age of the child, depending on the ability of the child, they're going to have to work through this in a way that's, that makes sense for them. And you're going to have to, you may only have a child settle down as the first step. That's all they can do. You know, they're sent into their break, and all they can do is settle down, and the rest of it they're going to have to process with the parent. Other children will have the ability to work through all four of these steps and come back to you and then share with you what they've already worked through. Remember, we're talking about repentance, and a child may be repentant without knowing what the right action is to do. And that's okay. They can come back. We'll help them because we go through the positive conclusion, and they'll know what the right action is for them to be a part of. The kind of teaching like that happens in the positive conclusion, and it helps a child know, where do we go from here? So a child may feel sorry that they hurt their friend's feelings by being unkind, but they may not know what they should have done. That's okay. When they come back, we'll go through it together. Their task, their mission, so to speak, was to only settle down, change their heart, come back, be willing to work on it, and then we can talk about it. Some parents spend a lot of time dialoguing with their children. Some parents try to work through some stuff with their children when their children aren't ready. And then their time they spend with their children is often fruitless, because their children don't have a changed heart yet. You can't work through repentance if the child hasn't already repented. You can't pretend they have. So the first thing we do is we send them away, take a break, change your heart, come back, and then we'll go through this process together.
When children are young and they go to take a break, they may not be able to identify what they did wrong, why it was wrong, or even know how to think about that separation. And the children may not be able to think at all because they're so caught up in their own emotion. So what this break does, it gives them the opportunity to settle down. Just a time to relax, take a deep breath, kind of let go, come out of that situation that's been so frustrating for them. Gives them a time to calm down, and then they're ready for some debriefing with the parent. So it's an opportunity for them to get out of that intense emotion and just settle themselves down and then come back and talk about it.
We find taking a break a very helpful discipline. One, because it focuses on the heart. That's what the child is doing. They're on a mission not to do anything but change their heart and come back. And we do with all that stuff with the positive conclusion to facilitate that. But the focus is the heart. The second distinction of taking a break is that it's that separation from involvement in family life that's the motivation for change, not separation from unconditional love of the parent. We want to make a distinction there. We're not withdrawing our love and our acceptance from our children. We're simply not allowing them to participate in the family life until they address their heart issues. They may have to sit alone or on a bench while others are having fun playing at the park. Through the principle of separation, what we teach children is that if they can't abide by the rules that make the family work, then they can't participate in its benefits. That is the principle that we glean from the whole concept of church discipline. The concept of church discipline is not excommunication in a negative sense, but the scriptures talk about welcoming that person back when they're ready to change. That's the same thing we do with children on a daily basis, and so you might use take a break several times in the course of an hour with a child as they're trying to readdress some of their behaviors, and in a much more simplified way than what you would in a church discipline situation, but the principle is the same. If you can't abide by the principles that make the family work, you can't participate in the benefits of the family life. So it's a break from those things until you're willing to change.
The third distinction about taking a break that we want to just highlight here for a few minutes is that the child helps to determine the length of time they're spending in a break. We're not sending a child off to sit in their room for 10 minutes or for 20 minutes, but we're letting the child determine partly how long it's going to take them. The reason we say that is because repentance is the goal. And we as the parent don't know how long that's going to take. If we send them off to a break and we tell them how long it's going to be, the time we give them may be too short. And they may not be able to go through that repentance process. They may not, you know, they just put in their time and then they come back and they're just as angry or frustrated as they were before. If as a parent we give them a length of time that's too long, well, that may cause discouragement on their part. You know, they're ready, they understand, they want to get on with life, and there they are sentenced to this length of time that is not necessary. So we want to let the child help determine how long that is. And so what we say to the child when we send them to take a break is, you come back to me when you're ready to talk about the problem. And then as a parent, we can discern whether they're really ready. We can see by their facial expression, their posture. Sometimes they're not really ready. We may have to send them back again. But at least the child has some control here. They're working on something in their own heart. And when they think they're ready, they come back to the parent. And we accept them and say, oh, that's great. Let's talk about this now. You accept them with warmth and encouragement. So the length of time spent in the break is not important as far as number of minutes is concerned. It's important in that it gives the child the opportunity to work on their heart. Now, sometimes it only takes a few minutes. The child goes to take a break and they say, oh, I know I shouldn't have done that. That was a wrong thing to do. They're ready to come back and talk about it right away. That's okay. They don't need to spend a long time there. Another child, or for another situation, the child may take 20 minutes or several hours because of that stubbornness or the rebellion. They're just having a hard time working through this. And they need that opportunity just to be alone and quiet for a length of time, just as they work on their own heart. So we're not counting minutes here for them, but we're letting them have the opportunity to calm down, however long that takes. If it's short or if it's long, that's something that the child can help determine and then come back to the parent, initiate back with the parent when they're ready to work on the problem.
One day my daughter, Megan, was 7 years old, and I heard her yelling at her brother downstairs. And so I said, Megan. She came up the stairs and she started yelling at me. She was upset. So I said, hey, you need to take a break. Before we even talk about anything, you need to take a break. So she went, put her foot in her bedroom, came right back, and I could tell by looking at her. Her bottom lip was still out. She was leaning to one side. I could tell by looking at her that her heart was not yet right. So I said, wait, you don't even have to start talking. We're not going through a positive conclusion here yet. I can tell by looking at you that your heart has not settled down. You are not ready yet. So I want you to go back to a break, and you deal with your heart, and then come back. 20 minutes later, she came back, and she was obviously changed. I could tell just by the way she was holding herself. So before she said anything, I said, come over here for a minute. And I took her head in my hands, and I said, let me look in those eyes. Oh, I can see that. I can see your heart. It's looking better. And she giggled, and I giggled, and we laughed together. And we then talked about what had happened, that it wasn't that yelling at her brother was not the way to deal with the frustration that she was experiencing. We talked about some ways that she could do that better through a positive conclusion, and that yelling at me was not appropriate or acceptable because that was disrespectful, and that I would be happy to talk to her about it and help her work it through, but that wasn't appropriate either. But that day, I used a break to address the heart issues with Megan.
There are a lot of problems that we come up with in our families, and taking a break is often the solution to help children focus on their heart and not just look at the behavior. Bickering is a common problem among children. It just becomes very irritating in the way they're talking to each other. So we don't want them to just change that behavior. We don't want you to say those words, but we want to use a technique that can develop in them a kindness, a thoughtfulness, so that their words will change. So we want to use a break technique. Children are involved in that kind of thing, and just give them the opportunity to come away and talk about really what's going on. So we've talked here a little bit about what a break looks like, and we want to give you some examples now of how it might be used in your family, what it might look like. Now, if taking a break like this is a new concept for your child, you're going to want to spend some time talking about what's going to happen here. With a young child, maybe 2 or 3 years old, you can start this, but often when you start using a break, you're going to come up with some resistance. Over time, children get into the routine of taking a break. They understand it's not this terrible punishment, and they willingly go to take a break, and then they come back, and they're ready. But often in the beginning, you're going to, especially with the young children, you're going to meet some resistance. I want to tell you a story about a young boy, 3 years old, that I was working with at one point. I was babysitting in a Bible study, and so these weren't my own children, but it was one particular boy, we'll call him Mark, he was giving me a hard time, and so I knew it was time to discipline him, so I told him he needed to take a break, and I said, Marky, this is what we're going to do. I want you to sit on the floor right here and just be still and quiet. You need to calm down. When you've calmed down, then you come back, and we want to talk about this, but right now, just sit here still and quiet. Well, Markey had no intention of sitting still and quiet. He wasn't going to sit right there. He was either going to sit over there or he was going to get up and run away. He didn't want to respond to me. He didn't want to submit to that. So what I had to do with Markey was I sat down right on the floor with him. In a sense, I took a break with him. I sat on the floor. I held him on my lap. I put my arms around him, and I held him firmly. And I said, Markey, I'm going to hold you until you settle down. You need to calm down. I talked to him calmly. I wasn't being harsh with him or angry, but I let him know, first of all, that I was boss. He was not going to, you know, if I said sit here, you're not going to sit over there, but you need to submit to what I'm saying. So you're going to sit here on my lap until you calm down. Once you calm down, then I'll relax my hold. So I just held him. Once he calmed down, then I was able to relax my hold. So in a sense, I helped him through this calming down process. And our children can learn to settle themselves down as we work with them. But I want you to realize that you're going to get some resistance. Often you do when you're just starting this. And that's okay. Just stay calm yourself and teach the child how to calm down, how to sit still in that place for a little while. As children get older, then the place where they sit is not as important. They can go off to, you know, off to their room or whatever. But we want to work with our children, make sure they're responding to us as we send them to take a break.
The secret to helping children to choose to do what's right is to teach them to change their heart. A complete change of heart takes a lifetime, but small day-to-day changes help accomplish this work. It would be unreasonable to expect a lazy child to become a diligent one overnight. But small changes over a period of time help a child grow with a heart that follows after the Lord, a heart that chooses to make right kinds of decisions, that addresses the desires, the intentions that they have in their own, their motivations that they have deep within. When taking a break, children are required to change their heart by either settling down or working through some repentance things and then coming back and talking to us about it. Now, if we can teach children how to change their heart, we've taught them a tremendous skill, something that will be valuable for even us as parents. Often we have parents sit in this talk and they end up saying, this is what I needed for myself, let alone for my children. And we think that's very important. We were counseling with a lady this week who's she believes at this point that if she just changes her behavior, she's being righteous. Even if she's doing it gritting her teeth, she doesn't have to even address the stuff that's going on in her life underneath. And we're trying to help her see that God is looking for hearts that are following after Him, not just for behavior, people doing the right thing. And that's the whole process that we're involved in with our children. We believe that this secret is a valuable one. We believe it's one that can take some very important spiritual issues in a child, in an adult's life, and move them back to a child, so that you'll be, when you build into your children this whole idea of taking a break, you'll be teaching them something that will go with them forever, because it's teaching them how to live a godly life and be responsive to the Lord in the end. So, if you want to teach children, the secret to helping children choose to do what's right is to teach them how to change their hearts.